It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And I think the at least in terms of Tornado Bob's life, the one phenological event that took place this past week that probably had the greatest effect on Bob's well-being for the month or for the week was that I had talked to him a week ago on Tuesday and told him that the evening grosbeaks were still coming to my feeder, and I had seen a bunch of them on Monday, and they were calling and creating a ruckus on Tuesday morning as I got ready to come in here, because they get up pretty early. And on Tuesday during the day, I saw one female evening grosbeak all day. And she was the last one that I saw. So Bob is convinced that he is the absolute reason that evening grosbeaks don't come to northern Minnesota anymore, and at least where he is at. And just inviting him out to my house to see them had caused the evening grosbeaks to take wing. So it was bound to happen. They don't spend the summer in this part of Minnesota, although there are some that do nest in the northeastern part of the state. It's to their liking, and primarily probably in Canada, just over the border, is probably a bigger area to look for evening grosbeaks during the summertime. But I had a great run from the day before Christmas this past year until last Tuesday. I had evening grosbeaks practically every day at my feeder, and it was thrilling for me, and I was pretty happy about that. I had a really unique experience, unique in the sense that this has only happened to me once, one other time in my life. And my neighbor, Marvin Beer, took me out and showed me a woodcock nest that he had discovered on his property. And woodcock are pretty secretive, and they don't give up their nesting sites very easily, and they must not have a lot of smell associated with them, because dogs and foxes and coyotes and all the rest can kind of walk right by these places and not be not even be alert that they're there. But it so happened that Marvin's daughter's dog, Flint, got too close to the nest, and the woodcock did the sandpiper gig where it pretended to have a broken wing and started limping away from the nest, and the dog, of course, took off after the bird, and the bird led the dog on a merry chase and then returned to the nest after the dog was well away. And Marvin got a chance to figure out where the nest was. Well, we walked over. He hadn't actually looked for the nest until I showed up, and the two of us walked over to where we thought it ought to be, and we probably stood within, I'd say, 10 feet of the nest for at least 5 minutes, kind of thinking, is that her? Is that it? Is that where she is? And ultimately, we were able to determine that, in fact, she was sitting right there. And so we've gone off and left her be. We don't want to upset her. We want her to have a nice, successful nesting period. But it was, as I said, only the second one I've ever seen in my life, a woodcock nest. And they are pretty astonishing how quickly and how easily they can just disappear into the grasses that are down on the ground. Marvin also told me that he had seen his first white-tailed deer with the beginnings of antlers. He said that there was about a one-inch stub on one of the deer that came into his yard. So the deer are definitely growing their antlers. And speaking of deer, if you're checking out KAXE KBXE Season Watch page, there are some fawns being born. This is about the time of year that they begin to be born. And between now and the 1st of June, a lot more fawns are going to be being born. And so you're going to want to be really careful as you drive, because these little guys are not quite as adept as their parents at getting out of the way of cars. And you don't want to hit a little one if you can help it. You don't want to hit a big one either. In fact, if you were going to hit one, your insurance company would tell you to hit the little one. But don't hit any of them. Try not to hit the deer. It ruins their day and it ruins your car. So that's not a good outcome either way. I've been trying to focus a little bit on a very interesting little plant called sweet fern, which is not a fern. It's a little woody stemmed plant that grows in sandy soils, has a wonderful aroma, has a sort of a fern-like looking leaf, which is, I suppose, why it got the name sweet fern. It has a cluster of catkins, which I think are the male flowers that hang out at the top of the plant. And in this past week, the new growth, the new leaves, are just starting to emerge on the stems of the sweet fern. If you see this stuff right now, it's kind of a sort of a bronzy color, kind of a rusty red color. And if you, it grows in patches, and it's almost always on some pretty desolate soils, sandy, poorly drained, or not poorly drained, but quickly drained, sandy soils where there's very little water accumulation. And these things form these kind of tight hedges, so they're probably growing rhizotomously from roots underground. And these sweet ferns, if you get into them and bang around with them a little bit, rough them up with your hands, you'll quickly understand why they're called sweet ferns. They are really quite aromatic. In the forest, I have wood anemone at probably close to its peak of bloom, sessile-leaved bellworts probably at their peak of bloom. I don't have the large-flowered bellwort at my house, so I don't have a good observation on that, but typically, the sessile-leaved bellwort or the sessile bellwort and the large-flowered bellwort are pretty much synonymous with their phenology. So I would expect that if you have those bright yellow, big, large-flowered bellworts, that they are probably at approaching their peak of bloom as well. The one thing that makes the large-flowered bellwort kind of an interesting plant is if you look at it, there is a leaf along the stem through which the stem of the leaf passes. So you look at this leaf, and it seems to grow all the way around the stem, and about two-thirds of the way up the stem, there's a two-thirds of the way up the leaf, there's a stem that passes right through the middle of the leaf. And that makes the large-flowered bellwort pretty easy to identify, so you can check those out. What else? Oh, Pennsylvania sedge, the grass that we see in the forest. It's not a grass, of course, it's a sedge, but it is at peak of bloom. Carex arctata, the sedge that comes up is bright green in the spring as the snow melts. That sedge is in flower right now. At my house, the decorative crabs, the showy crabs, the ones that put out the apples that are the size of size of a raisin or a little bit bigger maybe. Those apples are in bloom right now. The fruiting apples, the American Splendor and just the regular American crab apple at my house, are just on the cusp of blooming. So we're going to be seeing a lot of that. Juneberry is, at my house, the Juneberry is almost done flowering. And the pincherry has become the predominant white flowering shrub out there right now. And if you go to KAXE, KBXE Season Watch and scroll a little bit, you'll find a side-by-side comparison of the two flowers. The Juneberry flower has a narrow quite long white petal, and the pin cherry flower has a shorter, broader white petal. So there's a significant difference in the flowers that is easily observed. And if you check out those photographs, you'll be able to walk out in your yard and probably pick out the pin cherries and the Juneberries pretty quickly. I will tell you that the Juneberries are almost done flowering for the year, and the pin cherries are just really starting to pick it up right now. Wild plums are in bloom as well, and the plums tend to not have leaves when they are in flower. First the flower and then the leaves on the plums. On the Juneberries and the pin cherries, it's leaves and flowers kind of together. So if you see leaves, green or reddish looking leaves, chances are you're looking at either a pin cherry or a Juneberry. And if there are no apparent leaves, but just a big cluster of white or pinkish white flowers, you're probably looking at wild plums. The big tooth aspen, the Grande Dentata are just starting to break leaf bud. And what you're going to notice here is that what you've been noticing is that for the last couple of weeks, the trembling aspens have been leafing out and the leaves are getting quite green right now. And the big tooth aspen is going to be starting to leaf out this week. And the leaves will be very, very, very pale, pale green, just almost white as they come out. So watch for those. They're a cousin of the trembling aspen, and their phenology is quite a bit different from the trembling aspen's phenology. The oaks, the red oaks and the bur oaks up here are setting out their flowers. The male flowers are starting to distend, and the leaves are starting to emerge. So you can check out those. The dogwoods are coming up leaf. You can see the leaf stems on the dogwoods, and you can see where the flowers are going to be. You can see the flower structure, but the dogwoods have not begun to bloom yet. Looking at the bloodroot, I'm finding the seed pods, but no flowers, only leaves and seed pods right now. So they're just kind of getting started. Canada Mayflower, that false lily of the valley is another name for it. Look at the plant. It's got these lily-like leaves. If it's a single leaf, there'll be no flower. If it's a double leaf, there will be flowers. And in my patch, the one that I keep track of, the flowers are apparent. You can see that the flowers are there and will be blooming soon. The gray tree frog and the American toad began to sing this past week. Among the ferns, I found bracken fern up. I found lady fern completely unfurled. I found interrupted fern with the sori, the part of the fern where the spores are produced, apparent. So on the interrupted fern, pardon me, you have this whitish, hairy-looking fern that's coming up. And as it begins to extend, the hairiness drops away a little bit, and the part of the fern that makes the spores begins to become apparent. And it is a dark green modified leaf that's going to look odd compared to the rest of the green of the interrupted fern. Also coming up this week, maidenhair fern, ostrich fern, cinnamon fern, lots of ferns coming up, plus all of the equisetums, field equisetum, meadow equisetum, forest equisetum, the fluvial, the water equisetum, just every member of the equisetum family seems to be putting up stems right now. Looking at my trailing arbutus, it is done flowering for the year. And I am now just looking at seed pods and new leaves. The different vetches, the smooth vetch and the Canada milk vetch plants are up, but not yet showing any flowers. Blueberries have begun to bloom. The mountain ash has begun to set flower buds, and the leaves are out. Cowslips at my house are probably at their peak. And then, gosh, the birds at the bird feeder lots and lots of different ones: white-throated sparrows, American goldfinch, purple finch, brown-headed cowbirds, red-winged blackbirds, all the woodpeckers, everybody showing up. Rose-breasted grosbeaks, man, it's just a party at the feeder. It's every moment seems to bring a new bird to the feeder, plus all of the old regular ones. And last week on the 16th, I saw my first ruby-throated hummingbird, and that was 5 days later than average. There is a trumpeter swan pair that's on my lake, and they are nesting. I can see her on the nest just by walking down to the lake and looking off to the left. Pincherry, first flowers, 3 days late. Flower buds, 10 days late. Leaf bud burst, 18 days early. So, and then cotton grass. There's a, if you're driving by a bog this morning, you may see kind of a white, kind of a hazy white wash starting in the grasses there on the bog, and that is cotton grass. In this case, it is tussock cotton grass, and it grows in clumps and will be around for another couple of weeks as big white clusters of sort of, oh, like feathers, like cotton, sitting on top of these lobes of sedge that come up. Hepaticas getting close to being done. Yellow forest violets just getting started. I have a black cherry near my house over on Marvin Beer's land, and the flower structure is apparent but not yet flowering, and the leaves are open, and you can see the leaf stems. Tamaracks are getting to the needle stage. They've gone beyond just being out. Purple clematis is like ready to flower but not yet in flower, and it's a few days late. Starflower has emerged from the forest floor, as has blue bead lily, another wildflower that you can find outside. And who among you has not noticed the increase in the number of mosquitoes? Yeah, we've got lots of mosquitoes right now, and they're big and slow and easy to kill. So get out there and you know, do your part and help reduce the population by killing off a few of those mothers before they get a chance to lay their eggs and have little babies and make things even worse. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. As always, if you have observations, comments, questions, or things you want to share, please get in touch with us. We love to hear from you.